And we're going to share some things that have been stirring in my heart for a few weeks, and we're going to continue with that. We've been sharing some thoughts along these theme that the Lord had given me. He will never forget. But I want to share something this evening and just expand upon that. I think it's good to remind ourselves things that we may already know. You know, it's one thing to read the Word of God, but it's also another thing to have revelation or to have, sometimes people say an aha moment. I see something that I've never seen in the Word of God. We all have that. And so the more we feed upon the Word of God, the more insight will come or more revelation will come. And something I heard a minister share, you know, sometimes people, you know, may say, well, you know, my faith, you know, maybe my faith doesn't grow or doesn't expand. And I would question that because we're all growing, we're all learning. And faith, I heard a minister say, can we grow in revelation? And of course, everybody who has studied the Word of God says, of course. We're all gaining insight and revelation. Well, revelation is what prompts or stimulates faith. So faith comes from revelation in the Word of God. And faith is activated from that place. So if revelation can grow and expand, so can your faith. So we just share that the more we feed upon the Word of God, the entrance of what? His Word giveth light or giveth revelation. So revelation comes from the feeding of and meditating upon the Word of God. And so we're going to take some time this evening. And I wanted to, as we share on this theme of He Will Never Forget, we've pointed out a number of things from just the scripture. Maybe I'll just start back and just hadn't really thought about starting here, but let's just take a little time, or take a few moments anyways, and just share that God's thoughts, you know, that's a place to start, that in Isaiah 55, verses, chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9 and 11, says, for my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall what? Accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which for which I sent it. So God, as we were sharing on Sunday, He places a great emphasis and value on words, and specifically His words. And He, when you go back and you look at the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, He did what? He spoke things into existence. He didn't think it into existence. He spoke it and released words. And everything that we see, it says that which is seen was created by the unseen. And, you know, we've shared this in times past, that your words are containers. Containers of what? Faith, something spiritual. So words, although they're for communication, are more for what? Getting something to change, something to create. And, you know, when you say, well, my words don't create anything, well, let me just say that, you can speak words enough where you create fear from your words. You can create anger from your words. You know, words spoken that are harsh can do what? Create something, can create a very, a bad environment. Or words of love could create a very loving environment. So your words do create, and your words are spiritual, and they're containers of something spiritual, something that you can't see, but you can see the effect of what it is that you're saying. You can see the effect of the words that you speak. So your words are spiritual, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, and our words coming out of our heart can change things. And that's really what God gets across, that his words are powerful. His words are powerful, and our words are also powerful when they're spoken in faith. And so he did what when he was in this earth? He spoke to the winds. He spoke to sickness and disease. He spoke to circumstances. He cursed the fig tree. He spoke to, you know, various things and spoke to demons. And again, what are we saying? That there's a great emphasis placed on words. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for, in the Amplified Classic, it says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating. So his words do what? They penetrate to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So as much emphasis as he placed on it, you know, on his word spoken and his word, what does he say in Proverbs 18 verses 20 and 21, I believe it is? He said what? Death and life is in what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So our words can be full of death, fear, can be full of hatred, anger, and our words can be full of life. They can be full of love and joy and peace. And so we have to choose what we speak, and what you speak can affect and can change things positively or negatively. And we're going to do what? Eat the fruit thereof, of what we create or do with our words. But we've been sharing that God, it was just something the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. He said he will never forget. And we've been sharing along those lines. And one of the things that I wanted to just take a little time and look at this evening is that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 in the King James, and then we'll look at the New Living and the Passion Translation. But we were bought with a price. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We were bought with his sacrifice, and he paid for our redemption. But in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is what? Which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then let's look at the New Living, which is a more modern translation. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. And then it goes on, verse 20, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And then the Passion Translation, it says, have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with the tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. Powerful. So what I wanted to take a look at this evening is that from the standpoint or from that theme, he will never forget. He will never forget that you are his and that you are marked or sealed by the Holy Spirit. So he will never forget that you are sealed or marked or identified as his. How are we identified? We're identified from this scripture verses that the Holy Spirit resides within our spirit, and that identifies us to him and to us that we are his, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And let's confirm that with more scripture if we can. And it's in the King James, it says, in whom, in Christ, you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom or in Christ also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Ye were sealed, or you could say marked or identified with that Holy Spirit of promise. Where is he? He's residing now in me, in my spirit. Excuse me. Let's read the Passion Translation. And it says, and because of him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, it just means not Jews, that means we're Gentiles, who believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been what? Stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We've been marked, we've been identified, we've been stamped with him, with the Holy Spirit, who now lives within us. And let's take a look at John 10 and verse 14. And why are we sharing this? Because we need to, in times of life and things that happen in life, we need to remind ourselves. And what am I really saying? It's fine to read the Bible and read this and you go, okay, yeah, I know that. But when you go through life, let me just use this little example, and people interact with you and they may meet you for the first time, you do what? You introduce yourself and you identify yourself and you say, I'm so-and-so. This is my name. This is who I am. It's no different. That's from a natural standpoint. It's no different from a spiritual standpoint. And the more that you identify who you are, it becomes real to you. It becomes imprinted on the inside of you. I'm not what the world calls me. I am a Christian. I am a new person in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within me. I know Him, and I know His voice. And the more you speak that, and the more you identify with that, it becomes real on the inside of you. So John 10 and verse 14 in the King James, it says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am what? Known of mine." Interesting. Let's read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "For I am the good shepherd, I know my own sheep, and they know me." So when people speak words that say, "Boy, I'd like to know more about God," well, that's true. We want to know more about Him and His Word. But to say, "I don't know Him," or "I don't hear Him," is telling me that you don't speak who you are. You're not saying what God says about you. In the Passion Translation, John 10:14, it says, "I alone am the good shepherd, and I know those whose hearts are mine, for they do what? They recognize me and know me." And so my profession is, I know Him. I know His voice, and He reveals Himself to me. I know Him. And so there's no doubt as I go through life, the more you speak who you are, you will know Him greater and greater in a greater way, so that you will never get to the place of not knowing what to do. Everything that you face in life, God will show you what to do. His Spirit, who lives on the inside of us, will reveal to you what to do, how to walk through circumstances in life. He'll reveal Himself to you. Why? Because He knows whose hearts are His. And it says what? "And they know me, for they recognize me and know me." So we need to stop, you know, saying things like, "I don't know Him, I don't know His voice, I don't hear Him." You need to change how you speak. And this is why it's important that we speak in line with what God says about us, that He knows Him, He knows us, and we know Him. And glory to God. It's good to know that we can go through life, and maybe you're stumbling at first, and maybe you're struggling to recognize Him and recognize His voice, but He lives in you. Maybe sometimes you've heard Him, but you didn't recognize Him when He spoke. And so the more you yield, the more you obey those promptings and thoughts that come, you'll know Him more. You'll know Him and recognize Him better and better and better. John 14. Let's take a look at John chapter 14 and in the King James. And verses 16, 17, and 18, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide," where? "With you forever." This is what we just got done reading. He knows us. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, who now does what? Lives in us. So here, John is saying in chapter 14, he said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comfort that he may what? Abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, what? Neither knoweth him, right? But what? You know him. So when we say we don't know him, then are we calling him a liar? Are we calling Jesus a liar? He said we do know him. It says, but we know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. For I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So he will never forget that we are marked and sealed by him, and he will lead us and guide us into all truth. He will reveal himself to us, and he will show us what we need to do in life. He's here to help. He's here to guide us and lead us. Glory to God. Let's take a look. You know, the more we spend time in God's presence, you know, just in life, if you spend a lot of time around someone, you know, on either on a weekly basis or daily basis or even a monthly basis, you recognize what? Their voice. And it's interesting, isn't it, that if we spend time with God and we spend time in his word and we spend time in spiritual matters, we'll begin to recognize, that's what the scripture just said in John 10:14 in the Passion. It says, I alone am the good shepherd. I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. So if we spend time with him, we will get to do what? Recognize and know his leadings, we'll know his ways, we'll know how he works with us. And you'll recognize him. You'll begin to identify, that was God that just spoke to me. That was God that just revealed something to me. And that comes from spending time. You know, just in the natural, you see people that file for divorce because they, you know, they have all their reasons. But when you find out in some, not all, but you find out in some relationships, they're busy doing their own thing, each one on their own path, and they're not spending enough time with each other. So they end up not recognizing and they're not developing that relationship. And so it's no different with God. Now, he's never going to leave us. We can turn our backs and go our own way, but he will ever be reaching out. Isn't that a wonderful thing that man may go, you know, nutty and turn their back on someone, a friendship or a relationship, but God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never stop pursuing us because he loves us. And take a look at 2 Corinthians in the New Living Translation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, 21 and 22. In the New Living Translation, it says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, And he has identified us. See, this is how this is what another scripture to support what we've been reading. He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Glory to God. So he promised us what? Salvation. He promised us healing. He promised us a peace and joy and prosperity. And this guarantee that we have is through the Holy Spirit who's come to live in us. Hallelujah. So God is never going to forget that we're his own, we're his children. And we need not, in this tumultuous earth that we live in right now, they're trying to, you know, when some of the things that they're doing, you know, trying to get children to identify as something that they're not, we don't need to identify away from something that we are. We are a Christian, and we need to identify ourselves as a Christian. Why? Because he has marked us. He has sealed us. He has come to take up residence in us, and we need not, we are bought with a price, and it says, we are not our own anymore. Our bodies on our own, our spirits on our own, they're God's. And so we need to identify ourselves as his, that I'm his. And just like in society where, you know, you're born a man and now they're trying to tell you, well, you can identify yourself as whatever you want to be. Well, that's foolishness, because just in the natural speaking, natural sense of things, they can take bones and take the DNA of it and identify it as either a male or a female. So we know that some of this foolishness is motivated by the devil. But I'm just saying, for us, we need not identify as something other than who we are. We are Christians. It is no longer what? Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ who liveth in me. Hallelujah. So we identify, and the more we speak and the more we say that, the power of God will operate and reveal in a greater measure who we really are in Christ. And so we need to identify ourselves as his. Now, let's take a look for just a moment and take a look at Romans chapter 8 and the New Living Translation in verse 31 through the end of the chapter. And because we are his, we're marked. We can never be separated from him. We may choose to, but it's not easy. He said there's nothing that can ever separate us from his love. Nothing that you would ever do. This here, starting in verse 31, says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Verse 32, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Verse 35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus, who loved us. And then it goes on. And verse 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is why I was sharing this yesterday. Pastor Greg and I were sharing with a couple, and we were sharing this. I made this comment to them. I said, I made a commitment about 3 to 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, to read 1 Corinthians 13 every single day, and sometimes multiple times a day. And I said, I could count maybe on one or no more than two hands in that time frame that I've missed it for some reason. But I do it every day, no matter what time of the day. I could go to bed at midnight and get up at 2. But the first thing I do when I wake up is read 1 Corinthians 13. And what has happened over these 4 years by reading it and feeding upon it is that the love of God supernaturally is beginning to work where? In my spirit. And some things, you know, when we deal with issues in life, everybody's got a button. You know what I say? That little hot button that will just set you to going. It'll stir your flesh up, stir your mind and your thoughts and so forth. And the love of God has caused it such that there have been situations where in the past, something would have caused me to just react differently. And because I've been feeding on this, my reaction to it is different. And so I said, well, if God's word can change you in this area, what about other areas? Where as we feed upon the word of God, this is why Paul said, I am what? I am convinced. Well, you know, when you get revelation in the word of God, you become convinced. You are convinced that the love of God, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And that's what this is saying. Paul is saying, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears. If for today and worries for tomorrow, people got lots of fears about what's going to happen for today and tomorrow and what's going to happen to my family and all the kind of fears and anxieties that people have. If you are convinced that God's love, that he loves you, he will never leave you nor forsake you, then you can put your head down at night and you can say, God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll supply everything that I need. I believe that my cupboards are full. I believe that I bring my tithe into the storehouse. I believe that God opens the best doors for me. He gives me the best jobs, the best situations. And so God will work in us, and he will reveal himself in a greater measure as we take the word of God. I'm telling you, if you'll just do that 3-4 minutes a day, do it every day. Every day, don't miss a day. Take 1 Corinthians 13, feed upon it, and the love of God will become an anchor in your spirit and your soul as you go through life. It'll become an anchor that you'll not be moved. This is what Paul is saying. And man, he went through some stuff, didn't he? And he's saying here that no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I tell you, when you get to the place where that becomes real to you, it will make marriages different. It will cause marriages to be different. It will cause our friendships and our interactions to be different. Are we all there yet? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. But as we feed upon this, it will change us. Why? Because he's marked us. We have his spirit, the spirit of Christ, in us. And let me just read this as we close. 1 John chapter 1 in the Passion Translation. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, says, excuse me, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we boast that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them." That's a key point right here. That this isn't about whether I feel condemned or I don't feel condemned. God doesn't condemn us. It says here, when his light uncovers something. What does that mean? He's going to reveal to you and show you in a way that you need to fix that. You need to correct that. You shouldn't have done that. That's when we need to fix something. That's when we need to ask him for forgiveness. That's what he says. But if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time. God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we're not guilty of sin, when God uncovers it with his light, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So because we are marked, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, he is going to ever try to help us and to walk in the light as he is in the light. But as we're walking through life, we make mistakes. And this is what he's saying. He's trying to help us. He's going to reveal to us that's not pleasing to him. You need to fix that. And so at that point, we need to say, yeah, you're right. I missed it. Why? Because I know him. And I recognize him. And I know that I need to fix that. Not say, like it says here, if we claim we're not guilty when he uncovers it with his light, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we want to walk through this life recognizing that he's not going to forget us. Why? Because we're marked. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's a down payment of all that is guaranteed to us. What? Through the blood of Jesus. And as we go through life, you know, we need to profess that he's in me, he leads me, he reveals himself to me, and he's going to help us walk in a manner that's pleasing, and he's going to show us things in life, in our lives, that we need to correct. And he's not judgmental. He's not there to condemn you or judge you. He's just revealing to you and saying, and we already, you know, all of us, we already know the moment we did something or said something, we already know in our conscience, in our spirit, we already know we missed it. So we ought to just say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, forgive me. And he's already confirming it, I guess is a better way to say it. He's confirming that with what we already knew. So it's just good. I thank God, you know, and that's why the scripture says in John chapter 15, it says, you know, the branches can do nothing without him, without the vine. And so we need his help. We can do nothing in this life without him. And thank God we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we thank God. Father, we thank you for helping us. Thank you for living in us. Thank you. We recognize you. We know you. And we recognize your voice. We know you and know your ways. You're more real to us than this ground that we stand on. You're real to us. And your presence is real, and your direction is real. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are leading and guiding us into all truth. And we thank you for leading and guiding us in life and helping us. And you will never, ever, ever leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And just before we receive our offering this evening, if you're watching this evening, or you're watching at some point this stream, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, number one, he paid for your sins, and he desires to come and live on the inside of you. And all it takes is that we have to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The scripture says we'll be saved, we'll be born again, we'll receive his eternal life, his nature, and he will take up residence in us. We'll become what we're shared tonight. We'll become marked or sealed by him. And so if you've never done that, maybe you believed that God was in Christ, and maybe you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for all men, but you never professed Jesus as what? Lord of your life. Then here's your opportunity. And also, maybe you're watching tonight, and maybe through this message, God has revealed some things in you that maybe you need to get right. Just take this opportunity to do that and ask him to forgive you of that, and we'll do better. We'll do better at following him and obeying him. So let's say these simple profession of faith. Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I confess him now as Lord, as my Savior. I believe that you took my sins to the cross. I believe that when he died and was buried and went to hell, he took my sins and sicknesses to hell. And when sin was paid for, he was released and raised from the dead. And I receive him now into my heart as my Savior. I believe He was raised from the dead. Cleanse me of sin and unrighteousness with Your blood, and I will serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you made that simple profession of faith, you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, then let us know and we'll send you some information about who you have become in Christ. Praise God.